Thank you for your support of our Action for Children team and their work with these kids. And if you'd like to give of your time as well as of your money, please do speak to Jackie about helping sort and volunteer and the hours that that can be done and learning how to do that. I know she would love some extra hands. So this month has a theme. The theme this month is leadership and service. We talked about leadership last week, and we're talking service this week, so it's not going to take up the whole month, but this portion. You may wonder, did I schedule a sermon on service right here in August, right in the prime recruiting time, so that I could take advantage of the opportunity and tell you to sign up to serve your church, tell you to be greeters and ushers and make coffee? Is that why this sermon is now in the church calendar? Yes. I admit it. So after this service, I expect every one of you to go over to the sign-up table and sign up to serve in some way. Or else. Or else there will be no coffee, people, and nobody wants that. That's why I scheduled this sermon for now, but it's not why I put the topic of service on the calendar in the first place. Have you ever felt disconnected from the world? You know what I mean. Felt like you were watching the world but weren't really part of it. Felt like you wanted to be part of something but felt isolated, apart. Ever feel like that? Ever feel so small that nothing matters, that you're life doesn't count? Ever felt like you were watching your own life but not participating in it? Ever feel like that? Ever felt like, what's the point? The universe is so big and history is so big and you don't know how to get off the couch and do something. Ever felt like that? Sure you have. I have. I want to tell you a mostly true story about someone who felt like that. And some of you may remember that mostly true stories are not true at all, right? But they're mostly true. Julia felt like that, like the world was out there, and she wasn't really part of it. Felt like she wasn't even really part of her own life. This wasn't a totally new feeling, but it was growing, the sense of isolation, of distance. Julia felt like she wasn't living her life to the fullest. And for a while, she was in a funk about it. Ate too much chocolate ice cream, watched too much television, and moped. She wasn't totally debilitated by this. She had responsibilities and was often pretty busy, caregiving and working. She had some friends and went out with them, joked and laughed and did things, but something was missing. One day, Julia read that famous quotation from Henry David Thoreau about how I wish I could drive life into a corner and discover the nature of it. And she thought, yeah, I'm going to do that. I've had enough of moping and feeling distant. I'm going to do like Thoreau. I'm going off into the woods. And she did. And nothing. Bugs, rain, trouble setting up the tent, no insight whatsoever. If anything, she felt more distant and alienated from the world and herself. It wasn't for her. Maybe she thought, when she got back, I should join a book club. So she did. And she liked the people, and but she still felt apart. They were talking about life, and she didn't feel like she was living it. One day, Julia got a flyer stuck between her door and the jam. Neighborhood block party, Saturday next. Need volunteers to help. Julia was free that Saturday. Sure, why not? She'd been to the block party the year before, and she liked it, and so she thought to herself, maybe it was her job as a member of the community to take a turn helping. That's a hint. She called the number. Can I help? She said. And the volunteer coordinator was so happy, joyous even. Great. Can you come at 11 and make name tags? Okay. thought Julia. That doesn't sound really important, but I guess that's what they need. So she showed up and she brought her own favorite Sharpie, so she was ready, and made one for herself, Julia. She wrote her street name down too. And then she started in on everyone else as they arrived, welcomed the kids with a smile to make their name tags, and found out where her neighbors lived, learned four different ways to spell Christy. And for that time, felt no distance between herself and the world. After, Julia thought, well, I don't have to lead. I just did my job, and I felt part of the team. I felt good. Maybe I should volunteer some more. So she did. There was a neighborhood cleanup. She did that. She called the school near her and asked if they needed tutors or something, and they did. So once a week, she went in for that. It was great. Julia felt connected to the kids in her group and through them to the world beyond herself. She also felt more connected to herself somehow, like her life was important to them and to the world and thus to her. Soon, Julia was known as the woman in the neighborhood who volunteered. She served. She liked being known as this. Now, not all of her volunteer experiences were good ones. More than once, she found that the leaders didn't really know what they wanted the volunteers to do, and the work was kind of useless. She did what she promised that she had done, would do, but then she found other ways to help next time. One day, someone organized a tree planting day, and she went to that, and everyone was planting trees everywhere, in the park, next to the sidewalk, close to the soccer field, and it got a little out of hand. She noticed that the next week the professionals from the parks department were taking out some of the seedlings, ones that were planted in the wrong place. It's hard to know how to be helpful sometimes, and when doing service, it is wise to avoid the pigs to the rescue syndrome. But most of the time, Julia loved her service time. It wasn't her whole life. She didn't have time for that, and she didn't want to get burned out. But she found there was always something to do, and she could help. Every once in a while, because it felt like her turn, she would lead the organizing effort. But she preferred very much to just help out and be part of the team. Worker bees make honey, she would proclaim. She came to embody the spirit of the reading that it takes many drops to fill the bucket. That's how it gets done. Julia serves. She engages in service. It's what she does. Look, this is a mostly true story. There is no one Julia. There are millions of her, and some of you right here in this room. Like her, you have found that engaging in service, taking a turn to help, doing something for someone else, this feels good, it is good, and you have come to expect it of yourself. Here's a brief theological reflection on why Julia lost her sense of isolation through small acts of service. It's not just because through service she got to know more people. That helped, but she already knew plenty of people. No, her distance from the world was shortened through service because service is an act of making the shared world. The world we live in together is created and sustained by service, by those who say to the spirit of love to the world, use me for the sake of love. When we serve, we make the world that we live in, and thus the world is part of us and we of it. We stop being inhabitants in the house of others and become the architects and the carpenters of a shared home. And it is through concrete acts of service, things which seem as pedestrian as making coffee or picking up the neighborhood park, through concrete acts of service that we cooperate with the Spirit, that we demonstrate our love for others and for the world. It's easy to say, I love God, or I love the world, even I love people, but saying it matters very little. We religious liberals believe in a deeply incarnational divinity, which is to say, the divine, the holy, the worthy is not somewhere else, but here. And the way that we serve is through service, the little things which add up. You want to show that you love people? Then serve them. It's that simple. One more point about service. When it comes to service, one can have either a virtuous or a vicious cycle pretty easily. A vicious service cycle we've all seen. Nobody wants to volunteer. The volunteers who do it feel overwhelmed and get burned out. And folks, they get tired of doing it all by themselves over and over again. The requests for help become more desperate. And folks think, what is wrong with this place that no one wants to help? A theology of scarcity, hold tight, don't give time or money, takes over. We've all been there, seen places like that. The virtuous cycle, on the other hand, is wonderful to behold. Folks are given mostly concrete jobs and don't feel trapped in them. Everyone does something they enjoy doing, maybe stretch themselves a little bit, but with all hands on deck, the work goes quickly, and folks sign up again. A theology of abundance grows in the place. Folks think, sure, we can do that. This place is worthy of our time and our money too, and we're in it together. Here at this church, we are working to build that virtuous cycle of service. Most of the time, jobs are concrete and time-limited and meaningful. We try not to beg. And mostly, it takes just a mention from the pulpit that we need folks to sign up to be ushers, and we're good. Hint, hint. We're trying to build that culture of generosity and theology of abundance. Everyone in together, and we can do it. Time after time, we've proven that that's right. When we need to raise a particular amount of money to fix this or that, we do it. When we need folks to do a job, usually we find someone to step up and do it. So let's keep it up. Let's make it stronger, because it could be stronger. Let's make this place hum with the spirit of service and the service of love. Let's make this the kind of place where if Julia were to come into the door, she'd say, ah, these are my people. They like to help. And let's sing together. It's number 6 in your gray hymnal, Just As Long As I Have Breath. And I'll ask folks to rise in body or in spirit.